Hello, 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 hello. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody is doing well. I just want to welcome y'all to our fifth episode of Beyond a Different World. Again, just to let everybody know, because you know we may have some new listeners, some new people that are tuning in. Beyond a Different World is technically that bridge that brings us together, that bridge that connects the gaps, connects the dots, that bridge that literally like worked us as RMU, you know, being here on this campus. We do a lot of things, and we talk about a lot of things. So this is our platform in order for us to have discussions and bring us together as a unit, together as unity, together as one, together as a body. But at any rate, today, I am definitely blessed with Chris Chisholm, as well as Aaliyah Johnson, who are, you know, students here at RMU. And they're going to talk in a little bit, but of course, just like always, I'm going to open it up with our words of encouragement for the week. The word of encouragement for the week is hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destinies. And that's by C.S. Lewis. And with that being said, like I always tell everybody, you know, when your back is against the wall, the only direction that you can go is forward. Adversity defines our identity. But I can continue to go. I can go all day. But however, we're going to leave the floor open for Chris and Aaliyah. How y'all doing today?
Good.
I'm doing good.
Awesome. And the reason why, you know, we have Chris and Aaliyah here because they are at the forefront on campus as far as leadership is concerned. They are student leaders. They have learned a lot. They've experienced a lot. They've, you know, pretty much everything that they do here on campus is kind of like crafted to the type of people that they are. So today's topic is leadership. We're going to talk about some leadership today. So tell the people, you know, your aspects of leadership and your experiences through leadership. And how did you learn about leadership?
I guess I'll go first. Leadership, it really, I don't even know. Like, I'll just start with this. When I was in high school, I did nothing. Like, nothing. I went to class, came home, may sit outside, go in the house. Mm. And I really didn't have any motivation to do anything because I didn't think I could. Well, I knew I could, but I didn't think, like, I could add anything to anything. Because my high school's big. It has, like, 3,000 kids, like, I can't do anything. So that's why I chose to come to RMU, because it's small. Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe I can do something. Then I got here, and I was still picking up, like, high school habits in my first semester, and I was getting very frustrated because I was like, I want to stay. I want to like the place. I don't know what to do. So I would, like, hang out in Tori's office, who was the previous, you know, multicultural director. And I would just hang out, and I would watch everybody that was older than me, and I realized they were always doing something. Like, I'm sitting there, and they're coming in and out, and they were leaders. They were involved. They were part of e-boards. They were doing stuff. And I don't know. I just wanted to do what they were doing. Like, literally, I just was like a little sister, and I wanted to be them. So now I can't help myself. I can't get enough. And it really has changed the way I think. I think about people more. Mm-hmm. I can be very selfish. I'm an only child. But now every time I think about what I do and what my next move is, I'm always considering, like, who will it benefit or will it hurt this person, that person? Because I don't know. When you're a leader, you have to be an example.
Definitely. You are a part of other organizations as well. So just tell everybody about, you know, your role in these organizations.
Well, I'll start with BSU.
Okay.
That's Black Student Union. I started last year as the secretary, and I don't know what motivated me to do it. I just stood up one day during the elections, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And I did. I was secretary for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And that was really nice. You know, I was still under people that I looked up to, like Tristan and Darius and stuff like that. And then eventually it came to the question of, will you run again? Will you be secretary again? So I ran for vice president. And Kobe ran for president. It felt right because, you know, we felt like we were a team. And now we actually are in positions where we have to really lead, even though they're all positions where you lead, but we really have to lead. And I'm very excited about this because we haven't, you know, started yet in our new roles, but it's exciting. And also, I am the first vice president of NCNW, which is the National Council of Negro Women. Me, Kiki, which is Kijana Gerard, mm-hmm. Ebony Davis, Daniela Kama, who else? Yeah, I think that's the dream team, Alexis Walker. We all just decided to come together. We were talking to Tori. We were like, there's nothing here for us as being Black women and African-American women on campus. And we're like, there's really nothing specific to us. You know, we have BSU and everything else and women's leadership, but we just wanted something for us. We looked into it. We did our research. We really liked the organization, what it could bring to the campus and mm-hmm. how it could benefit us. And we did it.
Nice, nice. You know? And that's the one thing I definitely like to say is, you know, you have the opportunity to create what you don't see. If you see something that is on this campus that, you know, you think to yourself, like, man, you know, it would be really nice if we had that. You know, it'd be really nice if we had that. So, for instance, you know, there isn't nothing that is specifically made for males, you know, like just strictly males. So, like, I think that there can be a club that is made for males. Like, wow, the Gentleman's Club or something like that, for instance. You know, like you have the opportunity to create it. I mean, honestly, all it takes is creating a mission, creating a purpose, and creating a constitution, and boom, you have that capabilities. What? So, Chris, you're more of a seasoned leader here on campus.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in your last semester. You're about to graduate. Why don't you tell people about, you know, your experiences?
So. My experience is a little bit different. My high school was a lot smaller. Mm. My graduating class was, I think, less than 100 people. We had about like 95 people that graduated. And I was always very, very active in high school. I remember I didn't really know much about student government, but I decided that I was going to run for vice president of my class just for the title. Like, I didn't know much about anything. Any leadership position that I thought I could fill, I would just jump right into it, like, without knowing anything. And then I learned, like, that was the wrong thing to do. You know, I couldn't lead my fellow students or the people the way that they wanted to be led because I was just jumping into every position possible. But that's how I learned.
Mm-hmm.
I was never the guy to just stand around and, you know, just stay silent. You know, I was a little guy growing up, too. Like, I was always very shorter than everybody in my class and stuff like that. I was bony, you know, I was just a small little, you know, you can't tell if he's white or black kid in his class, like everywhere he went. And when I got to college, my freshman year, I didn't really do that much. You know, I kind of toned it down some because I wanted to get a feel of what it was like to actually lead the right way. So like Aaliyah said, I'm also an only child too. But I am the oldest out of 17 grandchildren. So I had to figure out a way to really get it right. So I started getting involved with the Multicultural Student Services with Victoria Snyder. I became a CA on campus, which is similar to an RA. It's the same exact job, but we're called community advisors instead of residential advisors. Then after that, I would just show up to different like leadership events, and I would go to different leadership conferences, such as the Black Male Summit and stuff like that. And I had a lot of mentors when I got here too. So I think the best thing is that if you want to lead, you have to know the role of a leader. You can't just jump into something and say, I want to be the face of this project or lead these people because it looks fun. Because it looks great. No, there's a lot of struggle and sacrifice when it comes down to being a leader because at the end of the day, everything falls on you. If you lead your people or your organization in the wrong direction, it comes back on you. If something backfires, it comes back on you. And those are the hardships and the trials that many people don't see. If an organization is doing very, very well, that's all you'll see, like especially with like media or just in the light of people knowing about your organization in general, but they don't see the behind the scenes work. They don't see the man hours that you put in 24 hours a week, you know, putting the documents together and trying to make sure everything is right. And I think that once I got that part, it made me love being a leader a whole lot more. You know what I mean? Sorry about that. there's love in the struggle. There is so much love in the struggle, and I think you have to learn to embrace that struggle in order to be a leader. Mm. You know what I mean? For example, one of the organizations I'm a part of is Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And there were no noobs on the yard when, you know, we first got here. It took me 3 years. You know, I didn't become a member until the second semester of my junior years with my four line brothers. So we had to learn how to step up and talk to people, you know, get to know the people that we needed to get to know and put our get our foot in the door and so on and so forth. And, you know, just to say it, you know, we go to a predominantly white institute. So it's kind of, it's a little bit hard when you want to, you know, stand out. It's not hard to stand out here, especially being a Black Greek letter organization. It's not hard to stand out because everybody sees you. So there's kind of like, there's like a tunnel vision. They see you, they think they know, but they don't know. You know what I mean? You walk around, you got a different walk. You know, there are things that we do that many other organizations don't do, but that all comes with being a leader as well. You have to know, you have to pick and choose your battles. You can't be angry every time someone comes up to you and they don't know what your organization is about, or, you know, someone does the wrong thing or something like that. But like I said, I think that being a leader has its pros and cons. You know, the cons are that sometimes you won't always get the recognition that you think you deserve.
Okay.
But the pros in that is that while you're not getting that recognition, it'll build you. You know what I'm saying? You'll say, okay, what did I do wrong last time that I can fix now so that I'm not struggling as much, or that I don't feel as though I'm not doing enough so that I can make my organization better. Mm-hmm. I know I said a lot there, but I think it makes sense.
No, definitely. And you touched on something. You touched on, you know, not being a part of things until you figure out, you know, what that purpose is. You know, what's that reason? What's that definition? So, you know, what's your reason? What's your definition?
I think that my reason is that, you know, I came in here, first and foremost, I came to college just to come to college based off the strength. I was one of those people who, I didn't really want to go to college in the beginning because I was tired of school. I kind of just wanted to get a job and just hop right in the workforce, you know what I mean? Mm. I felt like college was a waste of time, it was a waste of money, and there was no purpose in me being here. But when I actually got here, you know, after my first full year, I'm from Philly, and when I went back to Philly, I saw all my boys doing the same exact stuff. You know, they still on the corner, they working at McDonald's, they doing A, B, and C. And okay, like, it's okay that you working at McDonald's now and stuff like that, but it's not okay that my boys is still on the corner. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I had to try to find a gateway or a pathway for me to walk on and find my own way to get there. Because I didn't want to be like them. They following in someone else's, you know, footsteps. And I guess that's a contradiction there, because as leaders, we follow in someone's footsteps in order for us to be at the top of the food chain and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I don't see, you know, I'm a senior now. 4 years later, my boy's still on the block. They still doing the same exact stuff. So the person that they're following behind, that leader is leading them in the wrong direction to me. Mm. That's what I think. So I want to, you know, show my boys that it's there are other ways for you to get where you want to be, to get that money, to feel like a leader. For example, I was a part of BMLDI this past summer, the Black Male Leadership Development Institute, and we get these young brothers from all over Pittsburgh, suburbs, inner city, you know what I'm saying, the hood, whatever you want to call it. And some of these young men, their mentors and the people that they look up to and, you know, they old heads, so to speak, only thing they have to look up to is the dope boy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like you need another light. You need to look at something else, because that's leading you in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, coming up in Philly and stuff like that, it's if you don't go to school or play basketball or something like that, the only place that you got to go is to the streets. Mm. That's it. So that's my reasoning for being a leader. I want to be the change. I want to help shape my community. You know what I'm saying? Even if it just start with my block, I want to help start, you know, shape my block. Then, you know, shape the area, shape the neighborhood, then the city, then the state, then the world, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But in order for us to do that, you know, you got to take them small steps. You got to take those criticisms that people throw at you. You got to embrace that struggle. And so far, I think I'm doing pretty well at that.
It's a good answer. You know, because I just did about 2 diversity trainings today. And I spoke and I said that, you know, change starts with us. Change is within us. And, you know, Gandhi said, be the change that you wish that you want to see. So if you want to see that change, you be that change. And it may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the next year, per se. But however, small progress is progress. Small progress is better than no progress. So, Ms. Johnson.
Mr. Hodge.
What's your definition, Mel?
My definition of...
Why do you lead?
Why do I lead? I lead because it feels good.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't do anything. And I think me not doing anything really just made me, like, shut down. Mm. And now it's like I have to get up. Like, I don't mm-hmm. got a choice. Like, it's like I'm waking up for something.
Definitely.
So it feels better. It feels good. And also, like, if, I don't know, like he said, this could be, somebody's watching me, just like how I was watching I don't even know the word, like my, not successors. What's the other word?
Predecessors.
My predecessors. Yeah, like how I was watching them. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I want them to want to do what I'm doing. Because, I don't know, it just starts somewhere. And it's leadership isn't just one person. Like, it's a chain. Mm. It keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. It's continuous. And you want people to continue what you're doing. You
Most
don't
want
to be the only person that did this. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy that founded BSU. You think he just wanted to found it and it be gone when he left? No.
Right.
I think Theodore wanted it to keep going. And it has grown. And... I don't know. I just feel like I have to lead because I have to be an example. And just it feels really good, honestly. Oh, mm-hmm. my God. I feel so much better. Like, I was like, man, like, I'm going to school and I got to do all this stuff. And, like, I'm thinking about other stuff I can do and add to it. And it feels so much better.
I bet. Like, you know, they always say that. I'm sorry. Was you about to say something else? Okay. Mm-hmm. They always say that, you know, you can never tell the lieutenant because the lieutenant is with the soldiers. You know, you can never tell who is at the forefront because the person is, they're locking arms together. They're holding, you know, they're definitely going through together. And that leader is that person that does the work right along with, you know, the counterparts that follow, you know, right along with the counterparts that follow and those that are following or internalizing and taking in and watching and learning from that individual. Okay, so I see this is successful. This works. So let me try this. I see this doesn't work. So I won't go that route. You know, because I mean, we all make mistakes, but there are no mistakes. There's only lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn, you know, we learn. Everything has a lesson behind it. Whether it feels good, whether it doesn't feel good, whether it hurts, is a lesson behind it, you know, definitely. And I commend the two of you, you know, Aaliyah being an emerging leader, Chris, you know, being a seasoned leader, for the work that you have done. And I know, Aaliyah, it's going to feel amazing when you come back here years later and you see NCNW, like, thriving.
I want to see it everywhere.
Thriving. Chris had mentioned beforehand there's love in the struggle, and that is a great segment to our song of the week. Our song of the week is Bob Marley, One Love, because honestly, no matter who we are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, no matter what your beliefs or your values is, there's love in everything, and love brings us together, not hate, because hurt people hurt people. So without further ado, I'm going to play our song of the week, Bob Marley, One Love.
Mm-hmm. all. Oh, bless sinners who has heard all mankind. Just a saving soul, believe me.
One love.
What about a one
heart? One heart.
What about a
love? Let's get together and feel all right.
As it was in the beginning.
One love.
So shall it be in the end.
One heart.
All right.
Give thanks and praise to the Lord.
And I will
feel all right. Let's get together and
is only I'm a Gideon.
One love.
So when the man comes, there will be no doom.
One song.
Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Yeah, yeah.
One love.
All right, we're back. That was the song of the week. That was one of the songs of the week. We got two songs of the week. We got two songs of the week that's coming up. That was one. That was our first one, and that was One Love by Bob Marley. One Love was written in 1976. It was written during a Valentine. It was written during a time where we were divided. It was written during a time where, you know, hate conquered. It was written during a time where, you know, there was a Jamaican election and, you know, his support for that Jamaican election. And pretty much it was just kind of like, you know, one song, one love, one everything. You know, the power that we have if we are unified is amazing. I mean, words cannot literally suffice for how much power we can have. Like, as I always say, you know, during my diversity workshops or diversity trainings, you know, it's like a hand. You have your each individual fingers that do different things, but that can come together and create a fist, and that fist can pack a mighty punch. Honestly, the power is in that fist. The power is when those fingers come together. You know, you're not going to really, like, have much power with a slap. But you'll have more power, more force with a fist. So as Chris said, there was love in the struggle. Throughout all the hate, throughout everything that we talked about last week, I know last week was really heavy because that was, you know, after the Charlottesville incident. And I had Dr. Fanning come in and, you know, he poured his heart out on the mic of the issues that, you know, we face at Charlottesville and seeing that and the issues that are still, you know, very prevalent today. Amongst all that, find love. Amongst those hurt people, find love. Find healing. Open your minds to an understanding because you never know how much you can do and how you can save a life just by taking that first step. All right? Yeah, y'all feel me?
I feel you. Definitely feel that.
Yeah, so I want you guys to tell me, you know, one thing that throughout your experiences at RMU and, you know, being here and working with different people, what have you learned? You know, is there anything that, you know, that you can take and say, you know, I learned this from this person, or I've learned that by working with this person, and or that person encouraged me? Because, yeah, we are leaders, but we learn from those who follow us. As I always say, I'm sorry, I'll let you guys talk, but I'll get ready to go. You know, as I always mention, you know, in order for me to be a great leader, I must follow in the footsteps of those who once led great. So I must follow in the footsteps of those great leaders so that I can be a great leader. I'm literally taking everything that they're doing and everything that they're saying. You know, by me being the motivational speaker that I am, I watch motivational videos and I take bits and pieces from those individuals, their energy, their enthusiasm, the things that they say, you know, a lot of like the connections that they make. Like Eric Thomas, when, you know, he says you got to be, in order for you to reach success, you know, you got to want success as bad as you want to breathe. Like, oh, wow, I want that. So what are some of the things y'all picked up on working with different people, whether you were, you know, that person studying a follower or, you know, somebody who was like working along with you?
I guess I could start it. Mm-hmm. I think that I learned two things. The one thing my dad always told me, because I like to talk a lot and I like to debate and I always have a rebuttal for everything and anything that goes on. He always said, and it's so cliche, the reason why you have two ears and one mouth is so you can listen twice as much as you speak. Mm. And I had to learn that, you know, especially when I got here, mainly because the other thing that I learned is that everyone has a different opinion, and no matter what, you have to learn how to respect those opinions and hear people out before you, you know, just decide that you want to go in. You know, I'm one of those people, I like to go in anytime I want to. You know, if I feel as though I'm right on a situation, you might not even get a word in, but I had to learn how to overcome that. You know, the only way you can really make change is if you really sit down and listen to both sides and you try to find some common ground in between, because I can't just stand on one side and then push my one side all the way over. You know what I mean? There has to be like somewhere in the middle that we can meet in order for us to, you know, break everything down bit by bit.
Right.
So I would say that listening and understanding that there are different views out there, you know, because just because I feel one way doesn't mean it's the correct way. You know, just because the other person may be more of, like you said, a seasoned leader, or they have more experience and, you know, a different field or something like that, doesn't mean that they're necessarily right about anything either. Mm-hmm. So I guess listening and understanding that there are different opinions other than your own are two things that I've learned since I've been here.
Okay. Awesome.
To answer your question, of course I said I looked up to those that were in the positions that I, you know, had before me, but
definitely.
Honestly, someone I really I still admire her to this day, and I don't remember her last name, but she was an alumni. She came to speak to a few of us. We had lunch with her, like really relaxed and chill. Mm. And it was the same group of girls that started NCNW, except for like Daniela, she had class.
Okay.
And so we all, it was us and a few other young ladies who we had never seen before too. It was a really different situation. I never had lunch with somebody like that before. Mm. And she was alumni, and she was just asking us about the things that we don't like at RMU, because she made it seem like, you know, she wanted to help us make changes. And so, of course, us, we're like, yeah, we don't like this, and we think this can be better, and we're just going on this big rant. And we're like talking about how we don't like what people say to us or how people react to us and how people don't know how to deal with us. And she was telling us about her experience, because she works in corporate at like a bank, and she was saying that when she comes across people that don't understand her or don't think that she, you know, I guess is worthy of her position or whatever, like she stops, she asks them why, and she listens, and then she, like Chris said, she listens, and then she teaches. She says, I tell them why. Or if they say something I don't like, I tell them why. Because you can't be upset at somebody that doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And she always told us to, you know, take the time to teach. And I've been living by that for ever since. Mm-hmm. Like every time I hear something I don't like I might react, but I try my best to just say why you shouldn't. And always listen. And she always told us, she also told us that we should make a change if we don't like it. Like, she listened to us complain, and then literally we thinking she's, like, going to go fix it. Like, yeah, we told her she got this. And she was like, all right, now, what are you going to do? You're going to run for e-board. Mm. You're gonna not only complain, you're going to do something. You're not going to keep sitting there, because we told her how we like to sit. And then she was like, no, you're going to get up and do it. And I honestly think what she said was the reason why I, like, jumped up when I had to run for that secretary position, because I don't know what came across me, because I was so, like, shy when it came to things like that, because I didn't think I could. Like, I never thought I could. But I was just like, I don't know. I feel like her spirit really resonated with me. And
it's awesome.
I really appreciate that lunch.
That's awesome.
It was some good food, too.
Did she know that? Did she know the impact that she left on your life?
I don't think so. I've never met her again.
That's
I
would love to meet her. That's wild. That's crazy. And that's something that I want to tell y'all. You know, you don't know the impact that you can leave on somebody's life. You don't know what you can say to an individual to motivate them. The tongue is the most powerful weapon. It can speak life or death to an individual's to an individual or individuals. So, you know, definitely take heed and be careful of the words that you say, because people are listening. People are listening, and you never know the impact. Like, I've spoke at numerous events and numerous conferences, and I spoke in a room full of hundreds of people, and sometimes I speak in a room full of 5 people. But however, I always say, if I reach one person, my job is done. I've done what I was supposed to do. You know, that one person may not come up to me and say, Fred, that was really good. That was really awesome. That what you did, man. You saved my life. I love you, guy. But they may have taken that in.
Right.
And they may have done something like Aaliyah, where Aaliyah was talking about this individual who said that thing to her, and that sparked a fire in her. And now here she is today, you know, being a leader, being at the forefront, being a face on campus, as well as being on multiple postcards.
That's lit, though.
It is. It definitely is. I mean, and, you know, that's one thing that I love to do. You know, I love what I do, because I never woke up. I didn't wake up, you know, saying I'm going to go to college and I'm going to work for an institution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work for student affairs. I'm going to work for student life. That's what I want to do. No, it was by me being involved on campus. So being involved in the BSU, being involved in my fraternity, being involved in SGA, being involved in Africa, being involved in the other organizations that I was involved in. I mean, even though I wasn't a part of some of those organizations, I still lend a helping hand and I still supported them. It's amazing because of the simple fact that I support them, which in turn made them support me. So whenever, and this is a word of advice to anybody who's in any type of leadership position or any type of organization that you're in, if you're ever feeling frustrated because no one's coming to your events, take the opportunity to support them, because if you support them, they'll feel entitled to support you.
Definitely.
They'll be like, oh, you know what? Aaliyah, Chris, they're putting together this big event. I remember when Aaliyah and Chris was at my event, so I gotta show love.
Right.
I gotta show love. I packed out the room because of the simple fact that I've supported everybody that was in that room. I've supported everybody. So I went above and beyond to everybody that was in that room, and I was able to connect and I was able to network. And not just with my peers or my counterparts or not the people that had the same skin color as me. I connected with everybody. Like, oh, Fred, he's awesome. You know, he's not what I thought he was. That eliminated a lot of misconceptions. That eliminated a lot of the stereotypes. That eliminated a lot of the prejudgment. So definitely keep that in mind. All right.
Yeah.
Before we go on to our second song of the week, because remember I told you, I'm going to hit you with 2, I'm going to hit you with 3, sometimes I might hit you with 10. Our second song of the week is Where Is the Love by the Black Eyed Peas. I think that, you know, that was definitely really good, especially what's going on in today's time with that the outside realm, the outside world. I call the outside realm, you know, anything that's happening outside of this campus, because a lot of people come to this campus and they bring that energy from that outside world into this world, and this world is this university. But before I go on with that, I want, as I begun, I did my words of encouragement for the week, so I want each of you to give some words of encouragement to the listeners.
I got something. It was funny because I remember you said that in the beginning, and I was like looking on my phone. I literally typed in like inspirational quotes, but didn't I notice that? I noticed I ain't want to do that. So I just want to say, like, just go out there and get it. Anything is obtainable. Like, it really is. The one thing that I say to everyone, if you know me, I've said it 1,000 times. A lot of people say respect is earned, it's not given, but how can you earn the respect if you're not giving it? You have to give respect everywhere you go. That's one of the biggest things about being a leader. You know, you have to be respectful. But at the same time, you really gotta push and you gotta strive and you gotta move people out your way if you wanna go get it. You can get and you can achieve in every way possible. I mean, like I said, I ain't wanna look up no inspirational quote. So this is what I got right here. This is just me being as raw as I can. Just
from the heart.
Go and get it. Just go get it.
To, I guess, continue on what you said. You saying like go get it, but you don't be afraid to go get it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I know me personally, like, a lot of the things that I say I won't do is because I'm actually scared to do them. Mm. And even being a leader, like, even I know before, a lot of people before me, they would, you know, be scared to do things or would be afraid that people wouldn't support it. But sometimes you just got to do it because, you know, fear can block you from blessings.
Mm. Exactly.
We shouldn't be scared to do what we want to do. Just do it. Don't be afraid. Real. Like, fear... bad seed. Don't let fear like drive you away from your blessing, because you really can miss out on a lot and miss out on opportunities. So don't ever be afraid. Like, trust me, the worst thing you can hear is a no. The worst thing that can happen is nobody shows up. Like, if you put in the work.
Exactly.
That's something to be proud of. So don't be afraid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Faith is taking that first step without seeing the entire staircase. Dr. King knew what he was talking about when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what you're going to get yourself into until you take that first step. The first step is always the hardest. The second thing is the consistency. It takes 21 days to create a habit. So get out there, conquer the world, take over. Thank you. We want to thank you guys for coming. I appreciate it. You know, definitely thank you for enlightening our listeners as well as enlightening yourself, because I'm pretty sure you said some things like, oh, wow. All right. It happens to me all the time. Sometimes I'm presenting, I say some things like, okay, wow, that was good. Or write that down. But we're going to close with our song. Take the time to open your minds, open your hearts, open your ears, and listen to the words to this song, because, I mean, it's definitely evident on what's going on in today's world, in today's society, and how we're divided as a people. So you heal hate with love, and you eliminate darkness with the light. So I hope everybody has a wonderful, blessed week, and we're going to close with our song of the week. And if anybody needs anything, man, I'm an open book, I'm an open door. I'm here. So, you know, not only me, but our resources on campus are here. Our resources on campus, the counseling center, student life. Also, you know, we have our student leaders that are here. So just keep that in mind. All right, good people. I hope y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week. What's wrong with the world, mama?
attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate, and when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People
y'all.
Killing, people dying, children hurting, you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Strange, is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends, not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
What's the truth, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
What's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying, children hurting, you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? Would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love?
Feel the weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love?
One more.